John chapter 1, verse 46. Let's read this together loudly. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Come and see. I wanna pray right now. Lord, move today. God, I want to see a movement. I want to see you change lives. I want to see healing manifest. I want to see tangible evidence of your power and authority happen this today, this week, this month, this sermon series, God. I want to see tangible evidence that you're real. God, move. Lord, let us stand up and be the ones that you move through. That is the only heart, that is the only thing this sermon series is focused on, is us becoming the conduit, the medium, the very thing that you use to cause your mighty, great works. God, how great are you? How great are you, God? And your greatness move today. Amen. Can I just have everyone's eyes closed right now? And I just want to usher in the Spirit of God in just a still small voice and just a still small impromptu worship song just with our voices.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God.
Sing it out, come on.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
One more time.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Lord, you are great. You are great. Move in us. Amen. Amen. On your way sitting down, just hug someone. Just say, our God is great. Our God is good. Our God moves today. Thank you. Today, we're starting a new sermon series, Sun Stand Still. I love this. Can we all just say, Sun Stand Still? Sun Stand Still. This sermon series, I'm excited. We're actually going through a book right now that just God placed on my heart, and it's been really impactful in my life. And I want to preach on this mixed and paired with the book of Acts. If they were a food, they'd be delicious together. That's just what I thought while preparing them. Can we get the first verse up? What good can anything good come out of Nazareth? What good? I can just sense that tone. What good could come out of Nazareth? When I was preparing this message and God placed this on my heart a while ago, this verse just prophetically spoke to me for our church. What good could come out of Nazareth? What good can come out of that? What good? And I started thinking about it. Nazareth as a thing. What good come out of that? What good can come out of divorce? What good can come out of what good can come out of our past? What good can come out of addictions, disease? What good? As almost to say, what good can come out of Nazareth? And if you didn't know, Jesus was born and came out of Nazareth. God enacted a place for his son to come out and change the world. And up to this point, it was, what good is really going to come out of here? Jesus. And Nathanael, there's people groups that say, well, my past is stuck here, and I can never amount to much because I was here, and I was dealing with this, and this was my life. So what good can come out of my life because I've been here? And this sermon series is going to shake this and rip this out of us. Do we have a Nathaniel attitude or a Philip attitude? What good can come out of my life? I've been here. I've done this. I don't know. I've whatever. And Philip says, come and see. I love it. Can everyone just say, come and see? I want to challenge you, whatever your past is, whatever you've gone through, whatever happened over there, just have a come and see attitude. God's moving. God's changing. God's dealing with this, and he's going to propel. The past doesn't matter as much as the future matters. God's mind is on what's happening. And likewise, as Nazareth came, Jesus came through Nazareth, Jesus wants to come through us in this sermon series and change lives. Sun, stand still. What good is going to come out of our lives? Out of this sermon series, I'm going to pick some passages to read a little bit. How many readers are in this church? Do we have some readers? We have a couple, a few, maybe, kind of, sort of. Someone pulled out their phone. It's okay. Facebook, sure. That's a book, I guess. I'm going to read out this couple passages each week. And if you want to go into the expert realm of sermon series or the extra credit, if you will, pick up this book. I don't get any kickbacks or money from this, but Sun Stands Still, I picked it up at Barnes and Noble, it was like $9 or $10. And it's been changing my faith a lot. It's one of those books that just stretches you. You know, it's just that good slap in the face, like, hits you in the heart kind of books. And it's good. So check out this passage. I wanted to read this to start off our sermon series and then dive into the Word of God. It says this, let me ask you this. Does the brand of faith you live by produce the kinds of results in your life that you read about in biblical stories of men and women of faith? Chances are not even close. It's funny. For most of us, the disparity is hard to live with. The chasm we see between our mundane spiritual experiences and the overcoming faith we read about in the accounts of biblical heroes is downright discouraging. It can create a heavy weight of condemnation, a sense of failure in our hearts. We can begin to feel like maybe our faith isn't the real thing. Some believers I've known have gotten so tired of faking faith that they have just given up altogether. That's the beginning. This book is good. I wanted to preach on the book of Acts mixed with this book. Just of the start of the church. Just the audacious, crazy, unbelievable faith. This wild faith these young guys and women had that changed the world and created and sculpted the church and Christianity and the move of God. I wanted to see that kind of audacious faith stirred up in us as a church. What good is going to come out of our church? What good is going to change this community? What kind of faith do we need? I love this story of in Acts chapter 20, verse 9, with Eutychus. One of my buddies, Joe Small, had preached on this this character in the Bible, this story, and it's just been wrestling around my thoughts, and I wanted to kick this story off as the first story in Sun Stands Still. It says in verse 9, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus. Everyone say Eutychus. Eutychus. Say it one more time loudly. Eutychus. Thank you. Who was sinking into a deep sleep. Young people. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and taken a long while, even till daybreak he departed. I thought this was an interesting story in the book of Acts, simply because it resembles a gathering of people, someone speaking, and you have this movement, this precipice, this cuspid, this edge where everyone is about to launch off into this church movement, and you have someone sitting there who's going through the motions, going through the actions, sitting there as if part of the movement, but really just asleep, literally and spiritually. I think we can all identify with that at some point in church, hopefully not right now, where we just feel tired, sleepy, and not physically, but spiritually. Like we haven't been woken up yet for a movement. Like we're just surrounded by everyone else who seems like they've got it together, and we're waiting for something to happen to jump on board with, and we know what we're supposed to do, but we... Okay. We're just sitting there, almost tired through that whole sermon series, whole message, sleeping spiritually. So Eutychus is up on the ledge. He falls asleep, falls down, hits the ground, splat, and Paul comes down. And I wasn't going to go here, but I am. So Paul, his faith. You got to have some faith to see someone fall out. You know, he's dead, he's on the ground, splat. And you got to have the kind of faith that's just audacious to say, you know what, I'm going to show you guys. So Paul sees him, he's down, and he goes, no, he's still good. You just got to lay on top of, stretch out. You know, I don't know how the church movement would have seen this. They see Paul run down, says he's still alive, stretches out on the boy, comes back to life, and they keep continue with the service. But you gotta wonder. Like at one point, did Paul think, what if he doesn't come back to life and I'm just laying here? You know what I mean? Like that subtle doubt that everyone faces. That subtle, well, what if God doesn't follow through in what I do? Is everyone going to stare at me? Is it going to be awkward? Is my faith a shamble? Is it really going to happen? And I believe fully that every Christian has faced that at some point or will face that. Of that, will God follow through if I do what I'm supposed to do? Will God show up if I show up? I mean, I would ask for hands, but how many times have we seen someone that we felt an urge to pray for or invite to know Jesus or invite to church, and we're sitting there, we're like, yeah, I feel it, I sense it, I know it. Maybe next week, you know? Because we have this doubt, if you will, that maybe God won't show up. One of my favorite quotes out of the book is our ordinary actions, our ordinary obedience leads to God's extraordinary results. See, it's not about if God shows up or doesn't show up. It's our obedience there. We're going to show up and do what we're supposed to do and see God manifest in a mighty way. See God show up in a mighty way. See, this young man was sitting on the windowsill, sleeping on the cuspid, the edge of a movement, because he was just tired. How many times have we been asleep spiritually, waiting for something to happen, but in reality, God's waiting for us to show up in ordinary obedience, to see his will, his manifestation of everything show up. It's kind of like the standoff. You're waiting, and God's waiting, and you're waiting, and God's waiting, and you're like, well, God, are you going to do something? And God's like, well, I want to work through you. I want to use you in this movement. And so many times we want to see God do something miraculous, but we're almost scared or nervous, or we make our decisions out of fear versus faith because we're just waiting. And so he goes in and he comes back alive, comes up to the room, and his story lives on forever in the Bible. Do you know what his name means? This is probably my favorite part of the story, Eutychus. It means fortunate or lucky. Fortunate or lucky, that's his name. So Eutychus, whose name is fortunate or lucky, and I guess he was, came back, splat, fell asleep, and I really beg to differ that his name is fortunate, but it also gives us hope. No matter if we're spiritually sleeping or spiritually dead on the edge of a movement, there's still hope. We can turn around like that, wherever we're at. Whether we've missed the opportunity for God's miraculous to show up a million times in our past, it just takes one decision, one moment in our life to say, yes, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm just going to show up and do what you asked me to do. Just this one. We're Eutychus. We're the ones that God says, hey, you know what? I still want to use you. Fell asleep, died, came back. No matter what our condition is right now, God is saying he wants to use us. Audacious faith. Love it. I want to show a video right now. And this video is very interesting. It's going to explain itself, but I just want to set up a precursor to the video. It's a video on the moments of our life, a moments of a person's life, all compiled into a small video. And so with that, check out this video. Yeah, the life looks pretty bleak right out. There you go. Pause the music video in the background. The video is so good, we're gonna wait. We're gonna wait. Just give it a second. There it goes. Life is comprised of millions of moments strung back to back to back to back. Some of those moments are divine moments. Some of those moments are major moments. Some of those moments are small, big. And And it kind of puts into reality when you see all of them strung together. It hit me pretty hard, thinking that's all our life is just moments comprised together. We can't change past moments, but our only option is to change future moments, present moments, things that will change our life forever. I have a question. Well, if you could orchestrate and define the future moments indefinitely, you could set up your life and cause every moment to be as it is, and you could look back in your life and see it fully and say, that was it. Would you make a difference today? I would. When you have that clear picture, it kind of breaks up the routine of life. The monotonous and going day to day to day to day and realizing life is so short. Life is so abrupt. Life is this long. The Bible says that our lives are like a breath to God in time. God, that's our whole life time span to God, comparatively to how long he lives and exists forever. It's up to us to define those moments. Do we show up and say, God, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna show up and talk to that person. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. What does it take to realize we wanna make a difference? Sun stands still. This is just the promo. This is just the start of the series to say, hey, we need to break out of our routine for something more. That's what this sermon series is. I wanted to read another quote from here. It's my last quote for this Sunday. This one sentence kind of shook me a little bit. I despaired at the thought that my life might slip by without seeing God show himself mightily on my behalf. I can't, for me personally, just being open and honest, I can't see myself in heaven standing next to Paul or Moses or Jesus or these great people of the Bible. And you look at me like, I'm in awe of you. I can't believe this. You're in awe of God and these guys that all they did was just say yes at the right moment. That's it. The only difference between these guys, these women, and us is they said yes when everyone else said no. They were faced with a tough decision of possibly being embarrassed, and they said yes. For most of them, it was facing, well, I'll either die or live, but at what cost will it take? I'm going to do it. For us, a lot of times, it's just embarrassment. And that's more than enough to stop us in this generation, this age. So what does it take? I was thinking about myself in heaven and I was looking at the great heroes and I was picturing myself and I was saying, Paul, I can't believe you did this. You sat in prison and you were still faithful to write these letters, still faithful to write 2/3 of the New Testament, still faithful to continue on the journey, the church, you started it. And I kind of felt guilty and hurt, and I pictured Paul saying, he goes, tell me everything you did. What did you do? We both had the same amount of life. What did you do? I read my Bible. Okay, what else did you do? I love some people. I couldn't face the fact that I'd be in heaven and I didn't do anything on here while I had the chance. I couldn't do that. I can't stand that. I can't take that thought, that idea that I'd be up in heaven and if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But what are you going to do with the life you got? It's a string of moments. It's so short term, even though it seems long. What do we do now? What's happening now? One of my friends, his name is Dale Jenkins, and him and I were, I kind of like followed in his footsteps. We both had the same mentor and same senior pastor, and we always got together and talked and Skype. And I was asking him, so you became a senior pastor shortly after you mentored under this senior pastor, and I'm in the same boat. Tell me a story. That's just, I love talking to people like that. Give me your story. And so Dale said, he said he was in church and he was senior pastoring and it was going great and he loved it and he was having a great time. And one night he had a dream. And he said, in that dream, it shook his entire life forever. He said, in that dream, I was sitting there and I was on this huge cruise ship that was our church. He said, I was the guy who's the activities director. Cruise director, yes, cruise director. He said he was a cruise director and he walked around, he's all smiles. He's like, how you doing? Oh, let me fill your lemonade. And he started getting more people to help. Are you okay? Is your pillow? And he's like fluffing up the pillows and he's walking around. Do you need another shuffleboard? Hey, you guys got to get together. Shuffleboard, you'll start this tournament. It'll be great. And he's running from person to person and serving him and having a blast. And it's just wonderful. And everyone's smiling and having a great time. And he said the weather, you could look up and just see the sun. It was perfect. He said it was so beautiful. It was the best sky he'd ever seen, just shining down. And he said he was standing there in his dream, and he said it was so bizarre because he was standing there and he could look up and it was just so clear. But then he said in his dream he started looking down and it was just torrents of water just falling and gushing, and the storms of the sea were raging. And he said it was so bizarre to see wherever the captain would take the boat, the sea would calm and get sturdy, and the boat just no waves, no rock. It was just moving along, and the rain would go around it. He said it was so peaceful, but he couldn't stop looking off to the edge. Why was all the storm? What's happening over there? So he started going over there, and everyone's having a great time. Everyone in his church. He said he could see people's faces in the church, in the dream, sitting there, and he was serving them, and he was being just the best servant he could to the people on the boat. And he said he walked to the edge of the cruise ship, and he said, "This is so weird. It's the clear skies here, storm here. What is happening?" He said he looked down, and if you've ever been on a cruise ship, it's just flights, decks and flies. It's huge, and it's the water is all down below. And he said he looked down, and he started, what's that? And he started looking closer, and he said he just saw people floating by the boat, just drowning and screaming. And you could only hear it if you got close enough to the edge. If you weren't isolated in the middle of everyone having a good time, you had to get to the edge to see it, to hear it, to hear the cries of people as they would come by and disappear. Come by and disappear. And he said in the dream, he started panicking. He felt, there's all these people here. I have to do something. So he started screaming at people on the boat, his friends, his buddy, get anything, life vests, jackets, those donut things, and start throwing overboard. We got to start pulling people up here. They're on the edge, drowning. They're going to die. And he started screaming and eventually started organizing everyone on the boat to start getting people up and taking care of them and whatever's happening. And he woke up just distraught. And he said that God just clearly spoke to him saying, "That's what's happening. You've become this person that's just catering to everyone and serving the church's needs, and you don't see everyone drowning and dying around your community." And that really hit me hard. And I started picturing the dream, and the thing that hit me the most was I started picturing the people that were drowning was family members that I knew that weren't saved. Were friends that were floating by. And when they passed by the boat, I realized those were divine moments that God set up. The opportunity that God had been orchestrating, that they floated by in life just to be right next to me at the right moment for me to say the right thing for his miraculous, crazy move of him to intercept them and bring them on board. And it shook me to realize that we have so many people around us in Santa Paula, in Ventura, in Camarillo, in all this area and the 805 area code. They're surrounded by us. This sermon series is to wake us up. This sermon series is to shake us a little bit. This sermon series isn't like a warm, soft, snuggie to get comfortable and goosebumps by. This is to shake us where we're at and say, God wants to use us for divine moments. People are floating by us in our jobs. People are floating by us in our family gatherings. And we just need to step up and throw a life preserver over our ordinary actions of saying, God, I'll do it if you present the opportunity. God, I'll do it because you've orchestrated this. God, I'll do it because I believe you're going to show up. That's it. That's this sermon series. I was thinking about faith. I always thought it was interesting that Jesus said, faith is like a mustard seed. Faith is so small, and it's so many times we hear people say, oh, my faith's not big enough. I don't think we need to grow our faith necessarily. I think it's more along the lines of confidence. Can we grow our confidence? Seeing ourselves, opportunities present themselves and say, you know what? I'm just going to do what God told me to do, and the rest is on his shoulders. I'm going to be ordinarily obedient. I'm just going to do the mundane. God, you asked me to do this? All right. Don't think about the consequences. Just do it. Live reckless for God. Sounds weird, but just do it. I want us all to stand up right now. And here's what's going to happen. Can I just get some light acoustic guitar? Right now, I want to have a response, but not just a, we're going to raise our hand, but a old school come to the altar response. But it's a little bit different. If you're serious about this, if you're saying, I want to step it up. I want God to make a situation happen this week. I want God to orchestrate something around me, and I want to see his miraculous, extraordinary result happen in my life. And you're saying, I just need the confidence today. I just need to say yes. If that's you, I want to pray over you, but I want you to join me up here right now just so we can pray. If that's you, can you just come forward? And if it's just me, it's okay. But if you want to come forward and just say, God, present me with an opportunity this week, that's it. I got to do it. I'm going to step out. I'm going to do the outlandish, the crazy. I'm going to say yes no matter what because I'm tired of being on a cruise ship. I want to be on a battleship. Sean and Becky, you have such an anointing on you guys right now. Would you mind praying over everyone who came up here? Can you just lead out in that?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God that we can have confidence in. And I pray for those of us who have lost our hope, that you would give us the hope to trust and believe again, that you can do and you will do everything that you've promised. And Lord, I pray that as we have this hope and confidence, that we would be people who go to the edge of the ship, people who are willing to give up our comfortable life, the comfort of being together in this happy place, to go to the edge, to help the people who are dying around us, that we would be people who care that there are those around us who don't know the Lord, that care that there are people in our community who are hungry, who care that there are children who don't have homes to live in, that we would be people who care and believe that you will do everything you promise to do. So we say that we will be people who are obedient, that when you call us to step out, we will. And this week, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would orchestrate situations that would just be our simple obedience. And we would see it and we would know it. And we would say, as we're obedient to you, that we would see the extraordinary happen. And I pray in our lives we would see that. Those places that we need healing, those places that we are discouraged, that we would see that hope and that miracle come from you. And as we see you do that in our life and know how you are faithful, that we would have the confidence to turn and go to the world that is dying around us. I pray that we would be people who care. In Jesus' name.
And Father, I pray over each one right now who's disqualified themselves in their own mind. And I'm reminded in Isaiah, when he's standing there before you in his vision, and he says, I am a man of unclean lips. And there is this picture of an angel coming with a burning coal, putting it on his mouth and purifying him. And then this word goes out, who will go out? And he says, here I am, use me. Father, I pray that over us right now. For any moment there has been a second of disqualification, we pray for the purification that can only come through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to fall upon us. That the healing we need is right now. The purity we need is right now. That we are equipped right now to do the very work that you've called us to do. And Lord, I speak a blessing over us that our vision would change. That we would be like Jesus and we would see the detail that others miss, but we'd also get a bigger picture than we could dare dream for. So Lord, stir us up that when we see a need, no matter how large, we know that we could do something about it, that we'd open our mouth in prayer, we'd open our mind to believe, and the days of saying, no, it is too much for me, would be over in Jesus' name. And Lord, that we would see something and we wouldn't think, oh no, that's too small. But we would stop and take care of the smallest detail because you prompt us to. Lord, you are giving us this day purity, holiness, that you're causing our vision to grow, and that we would live as men and women who are constantly saying yes to you. In the name of Jesus, we declare that your love has cast out all fear. So in Jesus' name, fear be gone. In Jesus' name, deliver us from fear. Lord God, deliver us from also that thought of, I've done this before. I've tried this. Nice try, preacher. I've done this before. No, we say no to that. That we are to have the faith of a child who simply believes. So Lord, I pray for that purity and that call upon us in Jesus' name. Today's a new day. Amen.
Amen. Let's...